إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with our discussion of the essay of the great scholar Al-Allama Hafiz Al-Hakami rahimahullah, entitled I'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-i'tiqad al-Firqa al-Najiyah al-Mansura. In this essay, the Shaykh rahimahullah, as we have mentioned on a number of occasions, has followed the pattern of the hadith, which is known as the hadith of Jibreel, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked and he explained the three degrees or levels or aspects of the deen of Allah, that is al-Islam, al-Iman, and al-Ihsan. And we have already discussed the first aspect, that is al-Islam and its pillars, in which the Shaykh rahimahullah has explained in some detail the first pillar of Islam, that is the testimony or the two testimonies, the shahadatain of la ilaha illallah wa Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we said that in this second aspect of the deen of Allah, that is al-Iman, that the Shaykh also explains the pillars of Iman, the six pillars of faith, making great emphasis on the first of them, al-Iman billahi, azza wa jalla. And he has offered a number of questions related to this pillar of faith, believing in Allah. Indeed, it is the most important of the pillars of faith, and it is the essence of Islam, and everything else is based upon it, or is derived from it. In the last lecture, in lecture number 6, we discussed the matters based upon the questions, question number 38, the matter of the aspect of Iman, after discussing the definition of Iman, that Iman increases and decreases, and the proofs for that. Then we discussed another aspect of Iman, that is that the Iman of the Mu'minun, the people of Iman, that their Iman varies or differs in terms of its superiority or completion or perfection, some of them being superior to others. Then we talked about the evidences that al-Iman, when it is used in the general, unrestricted sense, mutlaq, that it includes the whole of the deen, and it includes any also al-Islam. And that when it is used in the specific sense, that is with tafsir, then its meaning, it is what we refer to as Arkan al-Iman al-Sitta, the six pillars of faith. The evidences for these have been presented, as well as the evidence from the Qur'an in general, the collective evidence, or the evidence for these pillars of faith collectively. And then we talked about the meaning of Iman, having faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the Shaykh, in this question, he explained that having Iman in Allah requires to believe in the existence of Allah, yani wujud ذاته ta'ala, the existence of Allah's divine being, in addition to the tawheed of uluhiyya, or as he referred to as ilahiyya, the tawheed of rububiyya, and the tawheed of asma wa sifat. These three aspects of tawheed each require some discussion or explanation. Therefore, after that, the Shaykh explained specifically what is Tawheed al-Ilahiyya, the tawheed of the divinity of Allah, or uluhiyya, or ubudiyya, that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. And some of the scholars said that this tawheed, it is in reference to singling out Allah for the actions that the servants of Allah do for Him. Yani that which is owed to Allah, the acts of worship that the creatures do for Allah, this is what we are talking about when we talk about tawheed al-ilahiyya or ubudiyya. That all acts of worship that the servants do, they should be given to Allah alone. As opposed to tawheed al-rububiyya, which we will talk about inshaAllah this evening, which deals with the actions of Allah Himself, the actions that Allah does, such as creation and giving life and causing death and controlling the affairs of the universe and so on. So we talked about in the last lecture the tawheed of uluhiyya or tawheed al-ilahiyya. And we said that, or the Shaykh said that it is singling out Allah for every act of worship, whether it is done openly or secretly, by speech or by action, and the negation of every type of worship to everything other than Allah, whoever it may be. Then we took the last question, question number 45, what is the opposite of Tawheed al-Ilahiyya? It is a shirk. And he said that there are two types of shirk, shirk akbar and shirk asghar. Shirk akbar, major shirk, it nullifies the Tawheed completely, and shirk asghar, it nullifies the perfection of a Tawheed. Yani it doesn't destroy one's Tawheed completely, however, it is no longer perfect if someone engages in shirk asghar, minor shirk. Okay, after this, the Shaykh explained in the question that we will take this evening, what are these two types of shirk? What is shirk akbar and what is shirk asghar? Before explaining what are the other aspects of a tawheed. And in this aspect of tawheed is tawheed al-uluhiyya or tawheed al-ubudiyya. And the opposite of it, it is shirk of both types. Major shirk as well as minor shirk. The first question, it is question number 46. ما هو الشرك الأكبر? What is major shirk? And the Shaykh rahimahullah, he said, it is when the servant of Allah, the creature, takes something other than Allah as an equal to Allah, as a nid, or as a partner, or a rival to Allah. Setting up something else from amongst the creatures as an equal or a partner or a rival to Allah. يُسَوِّيهِ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. To take something from the creation and make it equal to Allah, to the Lord of the world. Which if anyone were to think about it, it's clear that it is clear error to make anything in the creation equal to the creator of the creation, the creator of everything. He said, this shirk akbar, it is to love that thing which they have set up as an equal to Allah, yarhamukallah. To love that one as one loves Allah. To love that one as one loves Allah. Or to fear that one as one fears Allah. To seek refuge or to take shelter in that one, to supplicate him, to fear him and to have hope in that one, as well as to act or to request from that one and to rely upon him. Here, in the examples that the Shaykh has given, and these are examples of the acts that are considered as major shirk, yani loving, fearing, hope, seeking refuge in someone, having reliance upon them. He has mentioned two words, وَيَخْشَاهُ كَخَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَيَخَافَهُ. And some of the scholars said the difference between al-khashya and al-khawf is that al-khawf, the general fear, it is when a person fears something, with or without knowledge of that thing. And they might fear something that they don't know, something that they can't see or that is unknown to them. And that thing doesn't deserve to be feared. While al-khashya, it is fearing something based upon knowledge, fearing Allah because of His greatness, and that indeed He deserves to be feared. Wallahu a'lam. In any case, these are examples of that the Shaykh has given of major shirk when someone sets up something as an equal or a partner, sharing with Allah in these things that are His exclusive rights, love and hope and fear, seeking refuge in Him, supplicating Him, and relying upon Him alone. Then he said, after this he said, يُحِبُّهُ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. After this he said, أَوْ يُطِيعُهُ فِي مَعَسِيَةِ اللَّهِ أَوْ يَتَّبِعُهُ عَلَى غَيْرِ مَرَضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Here he has included two other things as separate categories from what has been mentioned in these examples of love and hope and fear. He said, and also setting up something as an equal to Allah, it means that you obey that one in disobedience to Allah. You obey someone in that which is an act of disobedience to Allah, or you follow someone in that which is not pleasing to Allah. And the great scholar, the student of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he has, in his definition of a taghut, he has mentioned these three aspects. That the taghut, it means that a person go beyond the bounds. That they take something beyond the bounds that Allah has set in the deen, in the sharia, either in one of three things. Min matbu'in, yani the thing or the one that is followed, or ma'budin, the one that is worshipped, or muta'in, the one that is obeyed. So he mentioned three things, in ibadah, worship, and in ittiba', in following, and in ta'a, in obedience. Shirk is in all of these things, not only in that which is ibadah, but also in following someone or something in that which is displeasing to Allah, or obeying someone or something in that which is disobedience to Allah. This is also shirk, and it is major shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 59, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, that we should obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and likewise we should also obey those in authority from amongst us, from amongst the Muslims. So that obedience, it is originally the right of Allah alone. And Allah has ordered us to obey His Messenger, whom He has instructed what to order us with. So obedience to the Prophet ﷺ is obedience to Allah. And then He has coupled with this, those who are in authority from amongst you, as a secondary order, we obey them as long as what they command us with is in obedience, is in accordance with the Quran and in the Sunnah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the remaining of that ayat, وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ, that if you differ about anything amongst yourselves or in what you have been ordered or commanded by those in authority from amongst you, فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ, then return it or refer it back to Allah and His Messenger, to the Quran and to the Sunnah. Therefore, the original authority is the authority of Allah alone, and obedience is due to Allah alone, and He has ordered us to obey His Messenger, because He is the one who conveys the message and the instructions and the commands and prohibitions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creatures. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 3, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُم مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Allah ordered us, al-ittiba, it is the following of that which Allah has revealed to us. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ, and don't follow anything other than Allah or less than Allah from the awliya. So here it is also clear to us in this verse that following or ittiba, it is following that which Allah has revealed, that which is revealed in the Quran and the authentic sunnah, and it is not allowed. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ, don't follow, it is not allowed, it is prohibited to follow anyone other than Allah who has been taken as awliya. But Allah alone, that which He has revealed, has the right to be followed. So here the Shaykh, he has singled out any three categories or areas of major shirk. One of them is acts of ibadah. Any act of ibadah that is offered to other than Allah is major shirk that nullifies tawheed completely and takes a person out of Islam. And likewise, from major shirk is obedience to anyone or anything in disobedience to Allah, or following anyone in that which is not, is dis, in that which is displeasing to Allah. All of this is going beyond the bounds in following, and going beyond the bounds in obedience. Yani there is obedience, but that obedience has to be within the bounds of the sharia. And there is also following, but that following has to be in accordance with what is pleasing to Allah, in accordance with what Allah has revealed. Then the Shaykh mentions the evidences, for what he is saying here concerning the right of Allah alone to be worshipped and to be obeyed and to be followed, that which He has revealed. And the first of those evidences, it is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 48, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. that indeed Allah, He does not forgive that anything should be set up as a partner and an associate with Him. Allah doesn't forgive it. لا يشرك لا يغفر أي يشرك بي. Allah doesn't forgive it. ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. But He forgives anything that is less than shirk to whomever He wills, if He wills. Anything that is less than shirk. And whoever commits shirk or associates something as an equal or a partner with Allah, then indeed that person has invented a tremendous sin. إثماً عظيماً. It is a tremendous sin, a terrible sin. Then he said also the saying of Allah from Surah An-Nisa, same chapter, chapter 4, verse 116, a similar verse, the beginning of it is the same, that Allah does not forgive that partners be set up with Him, and He forgives anything that is less than that to whomever He wills. In this ayat, however, he closed it by saying, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. That whoever commits shirk, associating something as an equal or a partner, or offering to them a share of what belongs to Allah alone, then that person has indeed ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. They have gone astray, not just gone astray, but ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Yani they have gone far astray, far astray. They are not just off the path, but they are far off the path, so far that it is difficult for them to return. Shirk, it is so far off the path that it is difficult for one to return. Unless a person repents in their lifetime from that shirk with sincere repentance, Allah accepts the sincere repentance of those who turn to Him. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 72, إِنَّهُ مَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. But verily, indeed, the one who commits shirk with Allah, then indeed Allah has made forbidden for him. حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has made it forbidden for that person to enter the paradise. Allah Himself has forbidden that the person who dies on shirk, who dies having committed shirk without repenting from it, Allah has forbidden that person to enter the Jannah. And there's no helpers for the zalimeen, yani the mushrikeen. Here, zulm, it means a shirk. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 31. وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَحْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ. That whoever commits shirk, associating something as an equal or a partner with Allah, then that it is as though that person has fallen from the sky, and the birds have snatched him up, or the wind has thrown him to a faraway place. This is the condition of the one who commits shirk. And then he said that there are other ayats other than these. And then he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is a proof in this subject of the seriousness of a shirk, and what would be the condition of the people who commit shirk. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said, حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ, the right of Allah over the creatures, over His servants, أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. The right of Allah over the servants is that they should worship Him, yani worship Allah alone with tawheed, and that they should not associate anything or anyone with Him. This is the right of Allah, that we worship Him alone, and that we do not make anyone as a partner in that worship with which we offer to Him. Not only is it the right of Allah that we worship Him, but in addition to that, we must worship Him alone, without associating anyone with Him. وَحَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبْ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And the right of the servant over Allah, and this right is not an absolute right. It is a right that Allah has given. It is not that the people actually have a right. Allah has rights over the creatures. He has created them. But the creatures don't have any right over Allah. Unless Allah, out of His favor and His bounty and His mercy, He gives us some right. So He has given this right willingly, out of His mercy and His bounty and His favor. The right of the servants over Allah is that Allah will not punish the one who does not associate anyone or anything with Him. Yani the right of the servants is that whoever doesn't commit shirk, then Allah would not punish them. And of course, this doesn't mean the absolute escape from punishment of any type. Because if a person commits sins from which they didn't repent, then Allah, He might punish them justly for the sins that they have committed. or he might forgive them. However, shirk he will not forgive. At least the other sins that are less than shirk, Allah might forgive it. Allah is forgiving, merciful. However, shirk will not be forgiven. Then the shaykh, he says, that those who have gone out of the deen by the commission of shirk, he said they are equal. Those al-mujahiru bihi, those who do it openly, wal-mubtinu lahu, and those who do it secretly, that they are equal. The people who commit this shirk and this kufr, whether they do it openly or whether they hide and do it, it is the same. They are the same, he said. يَسْتَوِي فِي الْخُرُوجِ بِهَذَا الشِّرْكِ عَنِ الدِّينِ Yani going out of the deen, they are equal in going out of the deen. Those who do it openly, al-mujahir bihi, like the disbelievers of Quraysh and others besides them, and those who do it secretly, like the munafiqeen, al-mukhadi'een, الَّذِينَ يُظْهِرُونَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَيُبْتِنُونَ الْكُفْرَ Yani they are equal, the pagan disbelievers like the Quraysh, as well as those who are the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who seek to deceive Allah, and those who believe, and they deceive only themselves. Those who openly display Islam, while they hide their kufr, they are the same in kufr, and they are the same in going out of Islam, and in the end, yani their final destination, the punishment of Allah, eternally in hellfire. Then he said the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verses 145 and 146, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا That verily the munafiqeen, those who openly display Islam, but they hide the kufr that is in their heart, he said they will be in the lowest place, in the lowest grade or the lowest level of the fire. And you will not find for them any helper. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَأَعْتَصَمُوا بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Except those who repented after this act of hypocrisy. Except those who repented and then they did good deeds. إِصْلَح They did the correct deeds. And they hold fast to Allah, to the deen of Allah. And they make the deen purely for Allah alone. Yani making the intentions in whatever they do purely for Allah alone. He said, then these, they will be with the mu'mineen. They will be with the believers. Yani those who have committed nifaq, hypocrisy, and then they repented from such, and they corrected their deeds, and they hold fast to Allah, to the deen of Allah, and make the deen purely for Allah alone, then these will be with the believers. And he said, وغير ذلك من الآيات and there are also other آيات of the Quran that convey this meaning or that prove this point of the seriousness of الشرك الأكبر major shirk which takes a person out of Islam which nullifies Tawheed. After this he mentioned the next question number 47 ما هو الشرك الأصغر what is minor shirk and he said that the opposite of Tawheed Uluhiyya, it is shirk. And shirk is of two types, major shirk and minor shirk. And what we have discussed up until now, it is major shirk that takes a person completely out of Islam. And here, the Shaykh discusses the other type of shirk that a person should understand very well, so that we do not confuse the two types of shirk and declare somebody to go out of Islam for committing an act of shirk, which is not major shirk, but is minor shirk. Indeed, even minor shirk, it is serious. It is more serious than the most severe of major sins. However, it doesn't take a person completely out of Islam. So what is minor shirk? He said, هُوَ يَصِيرُ الرِّيَاءَ الدَّاخِلُ فِي تَحْسِينَ الْعَمَلِ الْمُرَادِ بِهِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى Yani, minor shirk, he said, it is يَصِيرُ الرِّيَاءَ الرِّيَاء is showing off, doing something to be seen or to be praised, ostentation. That this showing off, if it is done a little bit, yasir ar-riya, that means, yani, if a person does it sometimes, or a little bit, then this is minor shirk. And that means that there is a difference between that one and the one who does it all the time. Who everything, every act of worship that they do it to be seen, to be praised by others, for the people to see them, and to think well of them. And this is different, this is not minor shirk. But minor shirk is the one who falls into this riya, ostentation or showing off, a little bit, or occasionally, or sometime. And he said that this riya is that which is a part of or what is manifested in the person improving or beautifying the deed which they are doing, the act which they are doing, improving it, though it is intended for Allah, it is meant, it is an act that should be done for Allah alone, but they do it because people are watching them. They do it because people see what they are doing and they want to be seen and they want to be praised. And when a person improves their act of worship because they are seen by others, and that act of worship should be done purely for Allah alone, he said this is what he means by Ar-Riya. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 110, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. That whoever has hope of the meeting with his Lord, whoever has hope, whoever expects and hopes for the day that they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawmul Qiyamah, for their account to be taken and to be rewarded for Allah for what they have done in this world, whoever has hope in that, the true believers, they hope for this day. They're living in this world refraining from that which Allah has prohibited and trying to fulfill the obligations which Allah has placed upon them in hope that for that day when they would meet their Lord and when they would be rewarded by Allah. He said, whoever has hope of the meeting with his Lord, فَلْيَعْمَلْ, then he must do the deeds, عَمَلَ الصَّالِحَ, righteous deeds. He must do righteous deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and he must not associate anyone with his Lord in that ibadah, the ibadah that he does. So this means that this ayat is an indication of the two conditions for the acceptance of deeds, and that is that they must be amal salih, righteous deeds, and righteous deeds are defined by the sharia, by the Quran and sunnah, what Allah considers as amal salih. It must be done correctly in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, in accordance with the sharia of Allah. And then it must be free of shirk, and it must have ikhlas to be free from any type of shirk in that action which should be done for Allah alone. Then he said the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning minor shirk. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكَ الْأَصْغَرُ, yani that the thing which I fear most for you, it is الشِّرْك الأصغر, minor shirk. This is the wording as it is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and it is declared to be a sahih narration according to Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. Then he said, the author says, the Prophet ﷺ, after informing his companions, and it also includes those who would come after them, but these are the best of the creation after the Prophets, the Sahaba, he said to them, the thing that I fear most for you, Sahaba, it is a shirk al-asghar. Then what does he fear then for those who would come later? Not only shirk asghar, but shirk akbar. As we see today in the Muslim world, it is widespread that the Muslims are engaging in major shirk that takes a person out of Islam. He said, but the thing that I fear most for you, it is minor shirk. When he was asked, yani, about what is minor shirk, فَقَالَ الرِّيَاء, it is الرِّيَاء, ostentation. Yani, he feared, he didn't fear that they would commit major shirk, that they would worship something along with Allah, or offer anything that is the right of Allah to other than Allah. But he feared that they might fall into this minor shirk. And then he said, when he was asked about it, he said, it is الرِّيَاء. And in another narration, in the narration of Ibn Majah, and it is also a sahih narration, Shaykh al-Albani declared it to be hasan in the sahih of the Sunan of Ibn Majah, the Prophet ﷺ explained what is الرِّيَاء. He said, it is يَقُومُ الرَّجُلُ فَيُصَلِّي فَيُزَيِّنُ صَلَاتَهُ لِمَا يَرَى مِن نَظَرِ رَجُلٍ. And in the text of the book, he said, من نظر رجل إليه. However, in the narration as it is reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, it is like I have mentioned it, يعني, that the explanation of riya is that a person stands up to perform prayer and then he beautifies his prayer, لِمَا يَرَى مِن نَظَرِ رَجُلٍ, يعني, as a result of the fact that somebody is looking at him, a person is looking at him, seeing him. For that reason, he beautifies or improves his prayer. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ described, or this is how he described الرِّيَاء. This is an example of riyā. And actually, in the narration of, in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, the expression that was used in that hadith is الشرك الخفي. الشرك الخفي, it is another expression that means the same thing. It is hidden shirk. يعني الشرك الخفي, it means a type of shirk that is hidden, that the person who is doing it might not even realize it or notice it. And a person is not aware of it. Not like the open shirk, like the person who is worshipping an idol or going to a grave or making a sacrifice to a so-called saint or something like this. But this type of shirk, yani ostentation, it is something that the person might not even be aware of. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, this is what I fear most for you, yani his companions, and then more so for those who would follow them. Then the Shaykh, he says that there are other types also of minor shirk. And from amongst them, he said, is al-half bighayrillah, swearing by other than Allah. Swearing by other than Allah is a type of shirk, of minor shirk. He said, like the one who swears by their fathers, or by the andad, those rivals, the false gods that they have set up as equals to Allah, or swearing by the Kaaba, or swearing by al-amana, by trust, by the trust. Or other than that, swearing by anything other than Allah. Then he mentioned the number of narrations of hadith. Most of them he have just mentioned a portion of the hadith, and we will just mention them as he has mentioned them. Otherwise, some of them, the complete narrations of them, are a little bit lengthy. However, there is some benefit if anybody wants to follow them. Here he mentions the saying of the Prophet ﷺ that's reported in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i and the Sunan of Abu Dawud from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and the hadith is sahih. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تحلفوا بآبائكم ولا بأمهاتكم ولا بالأنداد, that you must not swear by your fathers or your mothers or by those rivals that have been set up as equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تقولوا والكعبة, don't say والكعبة, يعني I swear by the كعبة, ولكن قولوا رب الكعبة ورب الكعبة, but you should say, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. Not by the Kaaba, but by the one who is the Lord of the Kaaba. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تحلفوا إلا بالله, يعني that you should not swear except by Allah. يعني don't swear by anything except Allah. And the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من حلف بالأمانة فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, that whoever swears by al-amana, by the trust, whoever swears by al-amana, then he is not from us. And this hadith also, it was declared to be sahih. After that he mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مَنْ حَلَفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ أَوْ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ أَشْرَكَ, and it is reported in this way, whoever swears by other than Allah, then that person has fallen into kufr or shirk. فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ أَشْرَكَ. And in some of the narrations, he said, it is mentioned, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ وَأَشْرَكَ, that the person has fallen into both kufr and shirk. And these narrations are all yani authentic narrations. Likewise, he said, from that which is considered as minor shirk, the sayings that someone says, which it is a means of shirk also. From amongst those sayings, he said that if a person says, MashaAllah wa shi'ta, MashaAllah wa shi'ta, yani it is the will of Allah and your will. It is the will of Allah and your will. This statement, it is also, it is a statement of shirk. However, it is minor shirk. The Prophet ﷺ, he said to the one who said that to him, MashaAllah wa shi'ta, it is your will. He was speaking to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, it is in accordance with your will, with the will of Allah and your will. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا بَلْ MashaAllah wahda. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, have you made me as a nid, as an equal or a rival to Allah? Have you made me equal to Allah? He said, rather you should say, MashaAllah wahda, that it is the will of Allah alone. Because it is the will of Allah that is executed, not the will of the creatures, whoever they may be. Likewise, he said, from those things which are minor shirk, he said, it is the saying, لَوْلَا Allah wa anta, that if it wasn't for Allah and you, yani something the person is saying to someone, if it wasn't for Allah and you, then such and such would not have happened, or I would not have gotten something good or whatever, that if it wasn't for Allah and you. And here, it is in these statements, the shirk is that the will of the creature is made equal to the will of Allah, or the help or support of the creature is made equal to the support of Allah. Then he said, وَمَا لِي إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ. Someone saying that I have no one except Allah and you. Except Allah and you. Making the person equal to Allah in terms of that one who they rely upon and that they have hope in. Or he said, وَأَنَا دَاخِلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَعَلَيْكَ. وَأَنَا دَاخِلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَعَلَيْكَ. Yani that some of the people of knowledge, they said that the meaning of دَاخِلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَعَلَيْكَ, it means that الْاعْتِمَادِ or al-iltija, that I am relying upon Allah and you. Because a person who enters, who goes to someone, yani they are normally going to that person to seek some help, to get some benefit from them. So some of the scholars, they said that the meaning of ana dakhilun ala Allahi wa alayka, it means that I am relying upon, or I am depending upon, or I am seeking help and refuge from Allah and from you. All such statements, he said, that these are shirk, minor shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, لا تقولوا ما شاء الله وشاء فلان. Don't say it is the will of Allah and the will of so and so. ولكن قولوا ما شاء الله ثم شاء فلان. But what you should say is that it is the will of Allah, and then after that, following that, subject to the will of Allah, then you might say ثم شاء فلان. And it was the will of Allah, and then after that, it was the will of so-and-so, a particular person. And the best of what may be said is the hadith that was mentioned previously, that one should say, MashaAllah wahda, that it is the will of Allah alone. However, if you said thumma, then it is allowed, as the Shaykh said here, that the Ahlul Ilm, the scholars said, it is permissible to say, Lawla Allah thumma fulan, that if it wasn't for Allah and then after, if it wasn't for so-and-so. But it is not permissible to say, Lawla Allah wa fulan, that if it wasn't for Allah and so and so. Then the Shaykh explains the difference between saying if it wasn't for Allah and then so and so. Difference between that and saying if it wasn't for Allah and so and so. Or the will of Allah and then the will of so and so. He said, what is the difference between al-wa'u wa thumma fi hadhihi al-alfaz? Yani what is the difference between the use of the conjunction wa'u, which means end, you and so and so. Or thumma, which means يعني, that something is coming after, following, or subject to something else that is before it. What is the difference between the use of these two expressions in what has been mentioned previously? The Shaykh says that the difference between them is that the atif, the conjunction wow, end, A-N-D, that this, it indicates or necessitates, يعني the use of it necessitates al-muqarana wa taswiya. يعني it necessitates that you are making a comparison or making equal the two things that are joined with end, Allah and so and so. It means that you are comparing them, comparing the creature to Allah or making the creature equal to Allah. In this case, whoever said ما شاء الله وشئت, then they have made a comparison between the will of the servant and the will of Allah, and they have made the will of Allah, they have made that person's will equal to the will of Allah. As opposed to if we join the two things together with the expression ثُمَّ, and this, he said, it indicates تَبَعِيَّة, يعني it indicates that something is following something else. ثُمَّ, it is following it and it is subject to it, that this is first, and this is what really counts, and what comes after that is secondary. It is not really the principal factor. So he said, whoever said, MashaAllah thumma shi'ta, that it is the will of Allah and then your will, or it was the will of Allah and then your will, he said that person has acknowledged that the will of the creature is subject to and following the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the will of that person will not be executed إِلَّا بَعْدَهَا, except after the will of Allah. Yani the will of the human being is not executed unless it is in agreement with what is the will of Allah. And this is, as is mentioned in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Insan, chapter 76, verse 30, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. That you, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ, that you, meaning the creatures, that you do not will anything, إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, except if Allah wills it. Unless it is in agreement or in accordance with the will of Allah, then your will cannot be executed. It will not happen. Indeed, Allah is the one who is all-knowing and wise. And similar to this is the statement in Surah Al-Taqwiyah, chapter 81, verse 29, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That you will not will, and you will not see the execution of your will unless Allah, who is the Lord of the worlds, unless He wills. So that the will of the creature is subject to the will of Allah. And this is important in reference to the principle or the pillar of faith, that is al-qadr and qada, to understand that the correct position of the people of Sunnah is that the human being does have limited free will, but not absolute will. The human being is not without will totally, nor does the human being have absolute free will. But the human being has will, which is subject to the will of Allah. And many of the Muslims in the past have deviated on this point, some of them going to either of the two extremes, saying the human being has no will, that the human being only is subject to whatever Allah wills, the human being does, without having any choice in the matter, which is absolutely wrong. And those who went to the other extreme, saying the human being has absolute free will, and that Allah has no control over what the human being does, which is also absolutely wrong. But the human being has some will, and has knowledge of what is right and wrong through the sending of the prophets and the revelation of the scriptures. And then the human being has a choice and the ability to execute their will so that they are accountable by Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Otherwise, if the human being has no will, how can Allah punish them for what they have done? And how can we accept that a creature has absolute will that is independent and free of the will of Allah, who is Rabbul Alameen, who controls everything in the universe? The next question the Shaykh mentions is, what is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? And we have discussed one of the aspects of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah or Ilahiyyah. Yani, that is singling out Allah for every act of worship and obedience and following that which He has revealed. And here the Shaykh talks about Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. The Tawheed in Lordship. Yani, Tawheed meaning singling out Allah as being the only one. Yani, who is the Rabb, the Lord of all the worlds, the one who created and who creates, and the one who owns and possesses, and the one who controls and disposes of the affairs of the universe as He wills. What is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? He said, it is al-Iqra' al-Jazim bi-anna Allah Ta'ala Rabbu kulli shay'in wa malikuhu wa khaliquhu wa mudabbiruhu wal mutasarrifu fihi. That it means that a person has a firm, resolute admission or confession or acknowledgement of the fact that Allah, the Most High, that He is the Lord of everything and the owner of everything. That He is the Rabb, the Lord of everything. كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَلِيكُهُ. And He is the one who owns it. He is the one who controls and owns everything. خَالِقْ وَخَالِقُهُ. He is the creator of everything. وَمُدَبِّرُهُ. And the one who manages or arranges the affairs of everything in the creation. وَالْمُتَصَرِّفُ فِيهِ. The one who has absolute free this right to of disposal of everything in the universe. Allah does whatever He wills. He is the one who has the right to do whatever He wills with His creatures. So this is the meaning of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, that Allah is the Rabb, He is the Lord of everything, the owner, the creator, the one who arranges and manages the affairs, and who controls and does what He wills with His creatures. Then he said, in addition to this, yani, that this is the meaning of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, yani the affirmation of these things for Allah alone, and the other side of it is the negation of anything, yani the negation of any of this for the creatures. He said, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. That Allah never had and never has. He doesn't have any partner in His sovereignty over the creation. That Allah is the sovereign alone, and He has no partner in that. There's no one who shares even a little bit of it with Him. And He has no supporter, وَلِيٌّ min al-dhul, yani He doesn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mighty and majestic. Therefore, He doesn't have any, He has no need for anyone to support Him or to help Him in His controlling of the universe. Nor is there anyone who can reject or defy the command of Allah. There's no one who can reject what Allah has ordered, nor anyone who can rectify or amend or challenge the hukm of Allah, Allah's judgment or ruling in the matter. There's no one who can come after him, after he has ruled, and modify what he has ruled, or amend what he has ruled, or challenge what Allah has decreed. And there's no one who can oppose him, and there's no one similar to him. وَلَا سَمِيٌ لَهُ. And there's no one who has a name, and who is named with a name, and the meaning is applicable to that one equally as it is applicable to Allah. لَا سَمِيٌ لَهُ. There's no one that is named with a name, even if somebody is named Alim or Hakim or Aziz or Azim. That name, its application of the reality of the meaning of it, no one will have that, will have equality in the meaning of that name with Allah. وَلَا مُنَازِعٍ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنْ مَعَانِيَ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. يعني, nor is there anyone who can dispute or challenge or contest his authority in any of the things or in any of the aspects of his rububiyyah. Yani, there's no one who can contest or challenge Allah in any of the meanings or the aspects of what is entailed in ar-rububiyyah, nor in that which necessarily results from his names and his sifat. Yani, muqtadiyat asma'ihi wa sifatihi. It means that there's no one who can challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perfect knowledge, and he has hikmah, perfect hikmah. And there's no one, yani, these are the things that are necessitated by his name, and there's no one who can challenge Allah, or who can contest or dispute with these things, or has any equality with Allah in these things. Wallahu a'lam. Then he mentions proofs, a large number of proofs, and we'll try to, and he mentioned them as best as we can, what he has mentioned here. The first of them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 1. Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. Praise, the praise, all of the praise belongs to Allah. Alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard. Because he is the one who has created, yani, the heavens and the earth. For that reason, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as the praise being due to him. Why? Because he is the one, الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Because he is the one who created the heavens and the earth. It is because of his rububiyyah that he is the creator, therefore he deserves to be praised. And he is the one who originated the darkness and the night. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-Fatiha, verse 1 he mentions here, or verse 2 if we count the basmala, the saying of Bismillah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that the praise belongs to Allah who is the Lord of all the worlds. And he is the Lord of the worlds, therefore praise belongs to him. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Ra'ad, chapter 13, verse 16. And this ayat is a beautiful ayat which mentions many of the proofs of the negation of any type of shirk or association with Allah in his rububiyyah. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Say, who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth? قُلِ اللَّهِ. Then say, it is Allah. قُلْ أَفَتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءِ. Yani, have you taken something besides Allah as awliya, as supporters or helpers or protectors? And those which you have taken as supporters or protectors or helpers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as being helpless and useless and not having any right or any authority to such. He says, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ نَفَعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا. That they don't possess for themselves even, let alone for somebody else who has taken them as a protector, they don't possess any ability to benefit or to harm. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْعَمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورِ. He said, then say to them, yani, think about this. Are they equal, the blind and the one who sees? Or are they equal, the darkness and the light? أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ. Or have they made, some things as partners for Allah, who have created like his creation? Yani, are they partners because they have created like Allah's creation? Has anyone created like Allah's creation? فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then the creation of those creatures and the creation of Allah, it was similar and they became confused between them. Is it so? Indeed, there's no one who can create like Allah. So why then can someone be set up as a partner or equal with Allah? قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Indeed, Allah, He is the creator of everything. There is no other creator besides Him. وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. And He is the one who is the one who is alone, who is unique, and He is irresistible, the supreme power over everything. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Rum, chapter 30, verse 40, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ رَزَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. That Allah, He is the one who created you, then He provided for you. He created you and then He provides for you. Then He causes you to die and He causes you to live. Is there any of your shuraka, your partners that you have set up at equals, as equals with Allah, is there any one of them who can do anything from these things? Creation, providing, giving life and death. Is there anyone that can do such? Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who is perfect, who is free from imperfections, and He is most high, far, far above that which they associate with Him, of partners or equals or otherwise. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-Luqman, chapter 31, verse 11. هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. This is the creation of Allah that you see around you. This is Allah's creation. فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. So show me what those besides Him have created. This is Allah's creation. What have they created? They have not created anything. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-Tur, chapter 52, verses 35 and 36. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. And this is also a very beautiful ayat. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Yani if they want to deny the worship of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Have they been created by nothing? Yani have they been created without there being a creator who created them? Did they come into existence without there being a creator who has brought them into existence? This is indeed a false idea that nobody can imagine. Yani did they come into existence without having a creator who brought them into existence, who created them? Indeed, this is foolishness. أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Or are they themselves the creators of themselves? Yani did they come into existence without having a creator who created them? It is foolish, absurd. Well, what about what is more absurd than that? He said, then are they the creators of them, of their own selves? Did they then create their own selves? And if they didn't have a creator, then what is the other option? Then they have created themselves? This is more foolish than the first proposal. Then he said, أَمْ خَلَقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You know, are they the creators of the heavens and the earth? Yani, did they create everything so that yani, they can deny Allah, who is the creator of everything that we see around us? بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. Indeed, they have no certainty about their denial. Yani, meaning their denial of Allah and His rububiyyah and His right to be worshipped and so on. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Maryam, which mentions the three types of tawheed: tawheed al-rububiyyah, tawheed al-asma wa sifat, and tawheed al-uluhiyyah. It is the saying of Allah from chapter 19, verse 65: رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That Allah, He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and that which is between them, فَعَبُدْهُ. And this is the argument of the scholars of Sunnah that they have presented, as Allah has presented it throughout the Quran, that if Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything that exists, then He alone deserves to be worshipped. So He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them. فَعَبُدْهُ. Therefore worship Him. وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. And be patient and constant in the worship of Allah. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًا. And here, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, that He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and that He is the one that deserves to be worshipped. فَعَبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًا. Do you know that there is anyone who has a name that is equal to Allah, yani a name whose meaning is applicable to them as it is applicable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is yani the tawheed of asma wa sifat, that there is no one that has the right to be named with the perfect names that Allah has named Himself with, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has named him with. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 11. The saying of Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That there is nothing like Him, like Allah, يعني negating the likeness of anything, يعني anything being like or equal or similar to Allah, وهو السميع البصير, while affirming that he is the one who is hearing and who is seeing, يعني the one who has perfect hearing and seeing. So in this ayah, the scholars of Sunnah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has both affirmed that he hears and he sees, and he has negated that there is anyone similar or equal to him in those names that he has been named with or those characteristics that he has been described with. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 111. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذُ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises himself. Alhamdulillah, the praise belongs to Allah, the one who has not taken for himself, who has not taken his son. And this is the rejection and refutation of both the Christians and the Jews, and whoever has the false aqidah of making or associating his son with Allah. Allah will stop for the adhan. Complete the remaining ayats after the adhan, بإذن الله. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. And in this ayat that we have begun to mention before the adhan, Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the praise belongs to him, the one who has not taken a son. And this is, as we said, refutation of the Jews and the Christians who ascribe a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. And nor does he have any partner in his sovereignty, his ownership of the heavens and the earth. And this is a refutation against the mushriks, the pagan disbelievers, the pagans of Mecca and those who are like them, who ascribe partnership to Allah, that there is something who shares with him in his sovereignty over the heavens and the earth. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ. Nor does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take anyone as a wali, as a partner, or a helper, because Allah is without need of any help or support. And He doesn't take someone as a partner due to His need. Allah is without need, and Allah is the one who is powerful and mighty, and He is great and above, beyond such descriptions. Then Allah closed this ayat by saying, وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Yani that Allah should be magnified, takbira, yani with the greatest, with all types of magnificence. And this is, yani the declaration, كَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. It is like the declaration of يعني التصبيح والسبحان الله. يعني it is a declaration that Allah is magnified and magnificent and above what they ascribe to him of sonship, of having a son or having a partner or having a supporter or a helper, a wali, due to يعني the need for such. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above such and Allah has no need of it. Finally, the Shaykh, he closes this question with the ayah from Surah Al-Sabah, chapter 34, verses 22 and 23. قُلِ ادْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, say to them, call upon those who you claim besides Allah, who you claim to be partners or equals with Allah. And then he described them in their helplessness. And yani, that description which shows that they could not be partners with Allah. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That they don't possess, they don't own anything, even the weight of an atom or a small ant from that which is in the heavens or the earth. They own nothing. They have no mulk of anything. They have no ownership or control or authority over anything. وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. Nor do they have in the heavens and the earth any share, any shirk, any share of anything. They don't own it, nor do they share in it. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. Nor has Allah taken any one of them as a helper or a supporter for him. Yani they have no ownership over it, they have no share in it, nor has Allah even taken them as a helper or a supporter. And if they thought that maybe that those which they worship besides Allah at least might be able to intercede with Allah, then Allah also denied such. وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. And there is no benefit, yani the shafa'ah, the intercession, does not benefit with Allah except for those whom Allah gives permission to, except the one who Allah gives permission to. So this ayat is a conclusive, decisive ayat which negates that there's anything in the creation that owns anything in the heavens and the earth or shares in ownership of it or is even a helper to Allah, nor can anyone intercede except whom He gives permission to, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question about what has been said or any comments, quickly, perhaps we can take one or two questions. نعم نعم. What about the Muslims living in the non-Muslim countries obeying their governors or their government? Is this a type of shirk? The shirk that the Shaykh has mentioned here and the scholars of Sunnah have mentioned in terms of obedience, it is obeying someone in disobedience to Allah. It is well known the Prophet ﷺ has ordered us to obey those in authority, except in disobedience to Allah. There is no obedience to any created being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, in disobedience to Allah. So if they have made laws in that land where Muslim is living in by choice, then if those laws cause the person to do that which is disobedience to Allah, they should not do it. The only way that they should do it is if they are forced or compelled at the point of death or serious harm, then in that case a person is not responsible for that which they are forced to do. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has pardoned my ummah for that which they have done out of forgetfulness or mistakenly for that which they are compelled to do. Otherwise, if it is ordering someone to obey the laws which do not contradict with the law of Allah, that the person should not walk across the street if the light is red, and that the person should not drive their car without a license, or such things as this which are not contrary to the law of Allah, then whoever is living in that land should follow the laws of that land and obey the rules of that land. Just like the non-Muslims are expected to obey the laws of the Muslim land if they are in the Muslim country. And whoever finds themselves in a position where they might be forced to do something in disobedience to Allah because they are living in the non-Muslim country, then they should consider the obligation that Allah has made on the believers to perform the hijrah, to leave from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the Muslims, so that they would not be subject to such. So it is their responsibility, if they feel that they would be compelled to do that which is in disobedience to Allah, to leave that place and to go to the land of the Muslims, where they would be free to worship Allah alone. Wallahu a'lam. طيب, if there are no other questions or comments, then we will stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.